The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ashton Rotman, who got engaged over his vacation in Italy.
I did, yeah, it was great.
Get credit. I get 30% credit
for that. I don't know why any of you think you should get any credit.
When I first met... I had a very interesting lunch with George Costanza today.
Really?
We were talking about our lives, and we both kind of realized we're kids. We're not men. I'm really going to do something about my life, you know? You know, I didn't want to call Melanie again, so what if she shushed me? George, I am really going to make some changes.
Yes. Changes.
I'm serious about it.
You think I'm not?
I'm not kidding.
Me too.
You have 60% credit. That's what you get now?
Oh, that's pretty good.
I don't think you should, but that's what you think.
Not 60. That's kind of high. 45.
Hey, hello?
Ma, guess what? I'm getting married.
Frank, come here. Georgie's getting married.
Get the hell out of here. He's getting married?
Yeah.
To a woman.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mouse.
Brian Gutekunst is the king, El Jefe, champion of standing in front of a microphone behind a podium and saying absolutely nothing. And I think I kind of like it. I think if you're a Packers fan, the week of the NFL draft, you kind of like it. Yep. I have not seen anything like this since, Ted Thompson.
Smokescreen?
A lot of them.
The word subterfuge was used yesterday during the press conference.
So they're on big words.
Is that because of your performance last week with your power rankings?
Oh, wait till today's.
Oh, no.
10 longest words that start with L. What did he say, Goody? Anything of substance?
No.
I mean, there were some things there.
There's some things you can pick at and be like, ooh, Cooper DeJean, they think he's athletic. You know, like, there's little things there where, but after he said the subterfuge thing, everything else becomes just white noise, I think. Like, how much, Gabe, give me a percentage, how much of all the stuff coming out of 1265 in the months leading up to the draft? Because one of the things that Goody said is that they feel very confident in their ability to draft because they have been sticking to the same book, sticking to the same program for so long. So they have really good scouts and they have really good people in the building and they know what they want to do and he thinks they do it at a high level. But the minute he says subterfuge, especially regarding the top 30 visits, now I'm going, well, is it all a red herring? Is some of it a red herring? What percentage of what we hear is a red herring headed into the NFL draft?
I think it's more about the players that they invite in. But when he's talking about picks and wanting more picks, I don't think that's subterfuge. I don't think that's a smokescreen. Because also, I don't think it's a secret that, you know, Goody has valued his draft picks over the years, that he wants more of them. Going back to what you just said, he believes in what they do. It's the most important thing that they do. So when I hear him say he has 11 picks, would love 13 or 14 picks, I'm wondering, and I hear him talk about having top five picks in the top 100, it makes me think that if they move up, it's not going to be one of these big swings to 16 where you're going to have to give up one of those second or third round picks. It's just going to be a small move up to maybe 21 where you only have to give up a fourth round pick.
So let's hear that from Goody yesterday, who talked about how he loves his picks.
You know, I don't ever subscribe to the thought process, hey, we got a pretty good team. These guys might not have a chance to make the team. I think I've talked a lot about competition in every room and how much that accelerates the growth of your football team. I think that's the best way for your team to move forward. So to me, there's never enough, you never have enough ammunition to build your room so that there's, you know, significant competition in every room. I think that's really important. So we have 11 right now. I'd love to end up with 13, 14 or more.
That's
I would never shy away from that.
For what? For what reason? You only have so many roster spots. The best teams in the league only have so many spots.
Yep.
So what the hell you need 13 for? That's a smokescreen.
More competition.
This is like that Austin Power character that wanted the gold. That's what it reminds me of.
Gold member?
Yeah, I guess that was who it was.
I love gold! Yes.
Doesn't that remind you of Goody with the picks?
Yes. The taste of it, the smell of the pick, the texture. You don't know who you're taking at 25. You have no idea. You know who you're taking maybe at 7 or 9. At 25, you have no idea.
You're just saying because there's too many variables.
There's too many things that could happen.
I honestly think Goody could give you a list of 5 names, and it's probably going to be one of the 5 guys.
Which is crazy when you think of Ron Wolf, when he was going to take Ray Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
When he was going to take Ray Lewis, thought he had him, lost him, and he's like, who the hell do I pick now? But there's no way the board could go in 9,000 different directions.
Are you telling me, Gabe, there's no chance, zero chance, less than 1% chance that Goody has 5 guys on a list and all 5 could be gone by the time he gets to 25?
I doubt it. I doubt it because you're looking at, I mean, guys that probably aren't even on their board in terms of these top quarterbacks, right? So, like, Caleb Williams probably isn't on their board because it's just, you know, you don't have to worry about it. And if
and Drake May,
yes,
and yada, McCarthy, yada. Wherever he is.
Roma Dunze, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr., et cetera, et cetera. If there is a run like they believe could happen on quarterbacks and 6 of them go before the Packers pick and, you know, 3 or 4 of these 5 wide receivers go before that, Brock Bowers gets into the mix of that. Like, there's going to be probably that Goody has someone in his top 15 that could fall to them at 25.
All right, Josh, I'm going to put you on the spot here because I believe you are our draft guru, the guy who is the most in-depth into the draft. Give me 5 names that Goody could have on his list for the top 20, the 25th pick, his first pick, that could be on the list if, like what Gabe says, happens. There's a run on QBs. There's a run on wide receivers. Brock Bowers is in the mix. Tell me who you got.
I see Graham Barton. I see J.C. Latham, but he might go higher. I see Amarius Mims. I see Tyler Guyton, the Oklahoma tackle. And then you start getting into picks. Is it Fashanu or Fontenot? Any of those guys.
So you're going all
offensive line.
I think Cooper DeJean fits it. I think he's a possibility. Now, him talking about it kind of makes me a little
confused. See what I mean?
Yeah.
He's asked about Cooper DeJean yesterday. He answers a question about Cooper DeJean glowingly, making it seem like he's a guy that they would be very interested in, but then hashtag subterfuge.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, now I don't know.
The thing that's interesting to me, though, is with what Gabe mentioned and all the quarterbacks and wide receivers that the Packers are unlikely to invest a first-round pick in, if a guy like Jared Verse drops or Latu, the edges, I think he goes up there and goes, well, this guy's top 10 on my board.
Yeah.
Why am I wasting my time trying to pick the 3rd or 4th best tackle when I can just have a top 10 pick and be happy with my day? So, like, while that's unlikely and those guys are likely to go higher, if it breaks his way, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't take
it. So that to me makes it seem like you agree more with Chu, which is you have no idea. Like, you have to have a bunch of different names there because the board could break. There could be trades up. There could be trades down. And you're just, like, kind of crossing your fingers that your guys will be there. But there's no guarantee. Or do you think he's got a deep enough list for that 25th pick that somebody on his list is going to be available?
I would think they're almost certain on, like, 3 to 5 guys that they know for sure are going to be there. But the draft happens. People move around. Picks go in places you didn't expect. And then you go, well, given this opportunity, we can't waste it.
So you're saying what will never happen is what Chewy was alluding to, which was Ray Lewis is gone, panic,
right.
Pick.
No, I don't see that
happening. I don't think that happens
But
anymore,
I'm looking at a mock draft where they have 6 quarterbacks going before 25.
Yeah.
If that happens, these GMs are so stupid.
Right.
I mean, they're dumb.
But Goody's thrilled.
Goody is thrilled
if that happens.
I mean, Bowers will be off, the tight end from Georgia. He'll be gone. My guess is Goody's sitting there going, all right, I just have to make it to 21 because I got 2 seconds that I can package to get there. I really think it's going to be a B.J. Raji, Clay Matthews type of deal.
But that so
because you don't need the picks. Okay. You don't need.
So the other thing that he did say yesterday that I want you to hear, too, because you're talking about that, it's about trading up. That makes me wonder if he wants to trade up. And that's, it's got to be, like, I think it would have to play out the way that Josh said it. that it's special talent would have to be there. Somebody's falling because it seems like that's the only way Goody's looking at trading up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think certainly depending on how far you're going to go up, but to give up one of those picks to move up, it better be for the kind of player that you know, you just don't feel you're going to have an opportunity to get in most years. So,
is there anybody that qualifies?
Yeah, DeJean. I'm not big on trading up for an old lineman. I'm just not.
I feel similarly.
Where do you? I feel like your opinion on DeJean kind of shifts by day.
I like him because he's versatile, and I wish the hell they didn't trade
Razul,
because that would be. And I'm not saying you lock DeJean in for his whole career.
Yeah.
At safety, but you cut his teeth with it.
Sure.
Because that's a lot easier to play safety than it is quarter.
Yeah, to make that transition.
Behind the quarterback, corner is the toughest, second toughest position to play. Tight end,
tight end is in the mix there too. Yeah, tight end or cornerback.
But would you be happy with DeJean at 21 and then a solid O-lineman at 25?
Yeah.
I'm good.
By giving up your 2 second round picks?
Sure.
Because you have to move up to get to 21.
Now, he's got ammo. He could go far, and I don't know, you pull up the scale. The trading. What if he packaged the first and the 2 seconds? How far could he move up? My guess is
pretty far.
13, 12.
Okay, so let me ask you again. Psychology-wise, if he has talked about wanting more picks and 13 or 14 picks and moving down, is that subterfuge? Do you see what I'm saying?
No, that's super consistent with everything he's ever said and realistically most of the things he's ever done.
I agree with that, but I'm talking about this draft specifically. If they are in love with Cooper DeJean and they know that they need to move up substantially, and again, maybe they don't. Maybe you're right. The board breaks and it's QBs and wide receivers and all of a sudden DeJean is there at 25. But if he's not, then they have to move up to go get him if that's the guy that they've fallen in love with. What I'm saying is that then plays into his red herring of, we're going to move down. We're probably going to move down. I love my picks. Gold.
But I don't think he's moving down in the top 50. I think he's going to make the... I mean, if they move up, I think it's something small. I think it's maybe move up to 21 from 25. Throw a fourth round pick because it doesn't take that much at that point in the draft. I think they gave up a third. Was it a third or a fourth when they moved up their couple of slots to go get Jordan Love in 2020? It wasn't much.
I don't remember.
It wasn't a second round pick. No, it wasn't huge. It wasn't huge. So it would be something similar where you give up a fourth round pick, you still have your five in the top 50, and you roll with those five in the top 50.
All right. So the Packers have five picks in the first three rounds. How many of those picks are picked at the spot they're at right now?
Four.
Because they traded up or because they traded back?
I'm saying they trade up to 21 and make the other four where they're at.
Yeah, I agree.
Four of the five in the first three rounds will be made where they are. We'll put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. The Packers have five picks in the first three rounds. How many of those picks are picked at their spot right now? Gabe is saying they move up to 21, maybe to grab DeJean. Is that your guess if they move up to 21?
Yeah, I think
so you're
he's
out,
the
by
guy.
The way, on this Mitchell kid from Toledo. You're out.
I'm not out there. On him. I just don't think he's going to be there. Like, he could be one of the...
Because he's been cruising up the draft board, somebody's going to say, we got to get that guy.
They'd have to love him. That have to be a Goody Love pick,
yeah.
Where he's like, all right, I'll package a first and a second to go up and get him.
Yeah, you're going to have to, you would
which
have to
he
be
may
very
do,
aggressive.
Which he might do.
You think he goes off the board before DeJean does?
Yes. I mean, he's getting talked about as potentially first defender.
That's just crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him.
I've seen, again, mock drafts, you take him with a grain of salt, but I've seen him as high as eight.
Like, you're going to see, because the most important positions, other than tight end, our quarterback, corner, and receiver, right? Those. So you're. That's gonna O linemen are kind of O linemen.
Like I would put linebacker in there before I would put receiver for this Green Bay Packers.
But
team.
I'm saying everyone else's board who are pretty good to crap, they're taking receivers, corners, and quarterback.
Oh, it's because the receivers are so heavy at the top of the board.
Yeah, that's what we want off the board, minus cornerback, because you can never have enough of them. I'm just saying, I'm fine with O-line at 25. Don't trade up to get an O-lineman. Just don't.
Unless it's like the first offensive lineman.
Which, by the way, who do you think that is? Are you a Mims guy? Are you a Barton
Joshy.
Guy?
It's the Joel Alt.
It's Alt. Joel Alt.
But Alt will be gone.
But that's what I'm saying.
Alt will not be there.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the only time you trade up is to take the first offensive lineman.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, there's no chance in hell they're getting Joe Alt.
Correct. But yes, that would be the only time you would trade up, is to go get that first one.
800-990-3776. The Packers have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. How many of those picks will be picked at their spot right now? Joshy's going to figure out a way to put that on the poll, because I know 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 doesn't fit in a 4-answer poll on the old X. We've got Jason Wilde coming up next. We will talk to him about the draft, which now is just hours away, right after this.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
We have come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
We are working on the sound on the YouTube stream here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Remember, you can always listen to the show on Wisconsin On Demand or the ESPN app on the live radio button. Jason Wilde joining us, as he does 3 times a week. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Better than you guys, apparently.
Well,
but
just
I love the
sound.
Live radio button.
The live radio button. I'm trying to think, what would that be? The live radio link?
Terrestrial radio.
Yes, sound, you can certainly bad. Listen to it on terrestrial radio as well. So, Jason, we were talking about the draft, which now we are very excited is tomorrow. Do you believe in lion season? Do you believe that a lot of what is coming out of these front offices and these buildings is subterfuge, to use the word that Goody used yesterday, and we should believe a small percentage of it?
I thought Goody made a good point that there's a lot more of it toward the top of the draft. And misdirection and misleading who you might be interested in. Now, I will say this, the Packers, you know, this conversation yesterday started with a question about the top 30 visits. For the uninitiated, every NFL team is allowed to bring 30 draft prospects in for on-campus, for lack of a better term, visits. And the Packers have used those sometimes for guys that they're considering in the first round, sometimes for guys that are seventh round-ish picks that they might want as undrafted free agents, or they might want on day 3. There's a lot of times where the third day guys that they drafted are guys that they brought in. But Goody's point was that sometimes they bring people in that they're not even all that interested in, to throw teams off the scent. But the important thing that he said was that he thinks that happens a lot more when you're in the top 10. And I agree with that, because at 25, I don't think they have as clear of an idea of who's going to be available anyway. So I'm not sure that they're trying to trick people into thinking, oh, we're really interested in this tight end from Boston College, we're bringing him in for a visit, when in actuality, they don't want the tight end from Boston College at all.
Jason, are they kind of rolling the dice with the Sam linebacker? Because none of the mock drafts have them taking a linebacker. And I would think he's going to draft someone in the first 3. But if that doesn't work out, who's going to play that position? Do they have to go get someone?
Well, here's the thing, Chu, and I say this with nothing but love in my heart for you. You're old, man. I mean, you're old.
Yeah.
You're old, and no one gives a damn about the Sam. I mean, they've publicly said...
Put it on a shirt.
Wouldn't that be a great shirt? They're going to play him about 15% of the snaps. You know, I mean, I think they still have linebacker as a need, though, because, you know, you and I, we've talked about this before. I think Quay Walker is going to be the Will, which is the weak side linebacker for those. I mean, we probably need to do like a seminar on the 4-3 defense, just because it's been so long since they've run it. Kind of like we had to do in 2009 when they brought in Capers, and I had to learn more about the 3-4 defense, which I think tell me if I'm wrong, Chu, but when you were drafted in 92, they were a 3-4 with Rhodes. And then,
well, we had an elephant. It was different because they called Bryce. I know I'm getting in, way in the weeds here, but they called it an elephant package where it kind of was, but it wasn't. It was kind of combination of the two because Bryce Pop was kind of a special kind of player. So, yes, there was a twist to it.
So when they ran a pure 4-3, and again, you're right, like they kept that even when Aaron Kampman was. He was their elephant defensive mm-hmm. end, and so there is a twist, but it was a true 4-3.
Yeah,
and so like when they before they converted to the 3-4 with Dom, like Brady Papinga was the Sam, but he played a lot. You know, it was Hawk, and it was Barnett, and it was Papinga, but he played a lot of snaps, and they basically flat out said that third linebacker is probably only going to play 15% of the snaps. So I'm not saying you just get anybody, but it certainly isn't a priority. Where I think it's a priority at linebacker is if you have, let's say it's Isaiah McDuffie at the mic and it's Quay Walker at the will. Well, that's great. Then what? Like one guy rolls an ankle and you literally don't really have anyone that can play one of those two positions. So I still think it's a need. I just don't think that third linebacker spot. I think they can play Christian Welch there. I think they can play Eric Wilson there and be fine.
So would you say that Goody is kind of off of the Ron tree where if you were to rank the positions on defense, he'd say corners 1, D-line 2, safeties 3, linebackers 4? Because that's kind of how Ron was.
Yep, and I think he'd probably differentiate, even though they'd both be toward the top, between edge rusher and interior lineman. Mm-hmm. Look, even with the 3-4, you know, we all remember my exchange with Matt LaFleur about having two down linemen on the field, then him having to tell me that the outside linebackers are defensive ends, and me telling him I knew that. But the fact of the matter is that whether you're in a 3-4 or a 4-3, those edge rushers are way more important. They're not only the edge rushers that
they
are getting
the
after
edge.
The quarterback,
yeah.
But they have to set the edge against the run.
Correct. Yeah.
Jason, you mentioned the interior line. The sound that came out of the interview they did with Jeff Hafley earlier this week on Packers.com, he mentions a lot of players. Didn't really say anything about Kenny Clark. We talked about Kenny Clark not getting an extension. But how much, just kind of reading between all the lines here, it doesn't seem like Kenny Clark is factoring into any sort of future plans for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make that jump just yet, but you're right. And I think there is a very clear trend line toward we're just done with third contracts. Now, I'm not saying that there won't be exceptions, and I'm not saying that Kenny might not be that exception. I mean, he hasn't even had his 29th birthday yet. And talking to Kenny before the tailgate tour departed, you know, this scheme, you know, he's going from being in a two-gap scheme where he had to be reading and reacting to now he's got his one gap, and he believes this is going to be great for him. And so I don't know. I don't want to read too much into Hafley not talking about him because before the bus left, Hafley came out, and the person he was looking for that was waiting to leave on the tour was Kenny Clark. Now, I mean, in fairness, I think he was the only defensive player on the trip, unless he wanted to talk to Mike Daniels. But I didn't see that on Packers.com. But I agree that there is a undercurrent of something, you know, they haven't even mentioned the possibility of, there's nothing been floated at all about extending him, which I do think is a little weird, considering he's coming off of a third Pro Bowl season, and they don't have many guys. I mean, he's one of the few veterans that has been around a long time. I think he might be the only player that's been here longer than Jordan Love at this point. So I agree with the vibe you're getting, but I'm not sure that that's as much as maybe you and I want to read into it.
Jason, there's been a lot of talk about offensive line. We have talked about whether or not the Packers should grab that with their first pick at 25 or wherever they end up picking, should they move up or down. But I haven't seen a lot of talk about center. Are you in the camp that the Packers might be interested in a center, might be wanting to upgrade at that position, maybe keep Zach Tom at tackle, move Josh Myers to guard? Have you heard any rumblings of that?
Well, look, I think the Graham Barton piece is interesting because I do think that, you know, he started as a center at Duke and then he was a left tackle for his last several years there. I think he is a guy that makes perfect sense to move to center at the NFL level, and he can be really good at that based on what people that know more about the draft than I know have told me. Now, that said, and this is not a knock on him because I think, you know, I've seen him projected to go to Pittsburgh at like 20. And he fits the Packers suit, man. Like, they love a guy who played left tackle in college and then they're going to put him somewhere else. I mean, they've done it time and time and time again over the last decade, two decades. I think there is a general belief in the NFL that you don't draft centers in the first round. It's kind of the running back of the offensive line, that you can get guys like that. If you listen to Bulaga talk about this, because this was all spurred on from Domofsky's visit with us when he talked about Zach Tom and how there's a couple people in the building who think he can be a Hall of Fame center. And Brian's point is, yeah, center's important, but there's other positions that are more important, especially outside. So I guess what I'm saying is that I don't think there's any question that they want another option at center. Because remember, it's Goody's job not just to draft for this year, but for the long term. And I don't think there's any of us that thinks that Josh Myers, who did pick up his play in the second half of last season, is going to get an extension. I think they're going to give him the John Runyon treatment and say, yeah, you're the starter. And they're going to go through the season, and who knows, maybe they'll draft somebody that they start rotating in like they did with Sean Ryan late last year. But I don't think their intent right now, and again, I don't know this, no one's told me this, but I don't think their intent right now is to re-sign Josh Myers. And so if that's the case, you better find a center, whether you're finding them at right tackle right now on your team or finding them in the draft. And so I do think it's a priority for them. I just don't think it's a first-round priority unless they see a guy like Graham Barton being that special that he's worth the draft pick in the first round.
Jason, do they know what they're doing with Stokes in regards to the fifth-year option, or are they waiting till after the draft?
Yeah, I think the deadline is, what, May 2nd again or mm-hmm. May 1st? I mean, I don't want to be dismissive, but Gabe/Keith looked up the number. It's, what is it, Gabe? 12 million?
Yeah, it's almost
like
13
that?
Million. Yeah. Guaranteed. Fully, I mean, guaranteed.
They got burned on the, you know, if they had it to do over, would they give Darnell Savage the fifth year option? No. Before that, like before him and Gary, they were, you know, Jair got it. Then they didn't have a first-round pick in 17. Kenny Clark got it. But then the group before that, they traded Demarius Randle before they even had to make the choice. They traded Ha-Ha before they had to give him it. They didn't give it to Dayton Jones. They didn't give it to Nick Perry. So they didn't give it to Derek Sherrod, who I think was the first one that they would have faced that decision on.
Yes.
So my point is that I don't want to say I don't see any way they give it to Eric Stokes, but I kind of want to say I don't see any way they give it to Eric Stokes.
The way Goody talked about his picks yesterday, I came away, Jason, thinking, okay, they've got that ammo. If they really want to move up, they can with the five picks in the top 100. But the way he talked about those, it made me think if they do move up, it's probably not going to involve those five picks. Did you come away thinking the same thing?
I did. That was, and I'm glad then that I asked. I thought, I'm not trying to break my arm, pat myself on the back here, but I thought I got two really good answers from him. Because, again, not about the questions, it's about the answers. And I thought him talking about the value of those day two picks and how if you're going to use one of those to move up, it had better be a special player who, and I think he said it as, who isn't available in most drafts or something to that effect. Like a guy that's not only one of the best players in this draft, but a guy like you don't think you could get last year or next year or in these other drafts either. So that is a pretty high bar for that player to clear if he's going to trade up. So that was one. And then the other part, you know, I thought that was really interesting was him kind of going through how they got Jaden Reed last year when they traded back twice. And what he basically said was, yeah, it's great that we got Jaden Reed, but we had like six guys on our board, and if he'd have gone while we were trading back, oh, well, sucks, but we'll get the other guy that we have rated high, which is crazy because the dude ended up being your leading receiver, right? So I thought that that really showed you the uncertainty and the crapshoot that the draft sometimes is because he could have gone, and then they would have drafted someone else, and who knows who their leading receiver is, if their offense is as good as it was last year, and they're that close to a pretty significant shift in what last year's draft looks like. But to your point, I do think that, you know, if he believes that Cooper DeJean is special and that they can't get him at 25 and it's going to require, what are we talking about, the 58th pick to go up to 16? I think there is probably a player or two that if they get pushed down far enough by the number of quarterbacks that are going to go, the number of wide receivers that are going to go, I think he might be willing to part with one of those picks, but I agree with you. When I think it was Mike Spofford from Packers.com mentioned that Goody has said in the past, you know, you can get five out of your top 50 based on how you rank your board. If he could get five of the top 50 players on his board, I do not think he wants to give up any of those four day two picks.
Last thing for you, Jason. There's a rumor out there on the webs talking about the Packers getting a white helmet. This would be a deviation from their standard gold helmets with the G's. You like the idea of a white helmet with the G?
Forever?
I do.
It's an alt. I love an alt.
I love the fact that they have...
What?
I wish you could have seen the blank stare that Chewy just gave me, Jason. Chewy's very confused.
Can everybody see that now, or is the stream still down?
No, nope, stream is up, so everybody can see it.
Well done, people. Joshy, you're the best.
Forever?
So for a while there was this rule that no matter what you did with your alternate uniform, you were stuck with your same helmet, right? Because it was a safety concern, which I found to be ridiculous. Like, I understand that your helmet fits like a glove, et cetera, but you couldn't plan for this. So now they expanded it to now have three possible helmets, which is wild, right? And yet they're still believing that their players are safe, so I'm not sure what to make of it. I love the fact that they might try that. I had not seen that. I would also say this. As much as throwbacks are great, I would really like to see something that's just different and forward thinking as opposed to always just, oh, this was what they wore when they were the Acme Packers back in 1919. It would be fun for them to do something a little bit different. And if that's going to happen, I'm all for it.
The navy blue tops look great on the Acme Packers. It's the nude pants that have always given me pause,
yeah,
Jason.
Those are not fun to wear.
Some of us would not have chosen the word nude.
They look like nude. They look like...
Depending.
They don't look nude, though, when you sweat through them like Mike Daniels did. And everyone thinks you peed your pants.
Yeah. Let's go to the baseball unit.
They're just an unfortunate color. Yeah. All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Great stuff, and we will talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every weekday on ESPN Milwaukee. Okay, lots of good stuff to get to there. Also want to talk about what is going on with the Brewers and the injuries. And then, of course, there was an interesting situation happening at a ballpark near you. Well, not near you, but a ballpark around the area. So much more to get to here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ in his own right. They talk about everything happening in the Bucks world, and they're joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll also answer your questions. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now at Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed when I said wait, did you just get just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We will get back to the Green Bay Packers. Can we forget the week of the NFL draft? I definitely thought it was Wednesday. I definitely thought today was Wednesday.
Oh, apparently, Josh, you didn't see it.
Because of the music?
Why apparently? Oh, because it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Joshy.
You're grounded.
What does that mean?
I don't know. The kids don't listen anyways. You ground them. They're like, yeah, thank you.
Oh, the mouthiness of Chase lately, man. Oh.
T levels are very high right
now. Very. And everything is like just pew, pew, pew. And I'm like, ja, block, block. I told him, I go, you keep that up and your girlfriend is not coming to Uncle Mark's wedding in a few weeks. And you know that what that did? That shut him up real quick.
I mean, momentarily, I'm assuming.
Yes, yes, of course, because then we were back to it an hour or so later. We are putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. It is essentially the Packers have 5 picks in the top 100, right? How many of those will be? I'm just scrolling, get to the poll. Top 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. How many of those picks will be taken where they are currently slotted? Go ahead and weigh in on that on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. I want to get to this baseball stuff. I know we're running out of time here, so I'll just touch on the Brewers situation now. Another injury, and it is very early in the season, but I believe Pat Murphy said yesterday that they have 8 guys out of their top 15 arms right now.
It's not great.
As Wade Miley now has suffered an injury. D.L. Hall has a left knee sprain. Jacob Junis has a right shoulder injury. Not to mention Christian Yelich, who, of course, is not a pitcher, but obviously a key cog in the Brewers' success and lineup, is also on the IL. Is this is it good to get it out of the way now, Gabe? And I guess the hope is then that these guys will all be healthy as the season goes on if they handle the injuries correctly now.
Yeah, and part of this, you mentioned Jacob Junis, who suffered a baseball injury because he was hit with a baseball during batting practice.
He was dealing with a shoulder injury prior to that.
Correct. So all of this, you know, coming together, I mean, these are the things that happen that you have to navigate throughout the course of 162 games. It's unfortunate that you have to deal with it, especially when you've had to rely so much on your bullpen already, especially when Freddy Peralta hasn't been pitching. So you got to hope you have that depth, and that you can just kind of navigate it until these guys get healthy. The good news is there aren't a lot of 60-day IL stints here. It's 15-day. So you're hoping by the time you get to, you know, the middle of May, you start getting a lot of these guys healthy and a lot of them back.
But this is Miley's second injury, correct?
He's old.
How old?
Like 37, so, I want to say.
So sports old.
Yeah, that's old.
Yeah, I mean, the left arm, it's got a lot of mileage.
You ever been hit by a ball, like, really hard?
Oh, yeah. Throwing batting practice.
I caught one off my head in left field, and it didn't really hurt.
Caught it off your head?
Well, it went over my glove, and, you know, the old boink.
Yeah, did it go over the fence, Jose Canseco style?
We didn't have a fence. We had blacktop. This was 1984-ish.
So you're just real person old.
I think there's a part of your head that just doesn't have any feeling, or maybe it's the baby thing.
Works.
I think it is.
No.
Is it just me?
Yep. Potentially.
No, because when you're born, you have a hole in your head.
That's true, but by this time, or by 84, that would have closed up.
It doesn't hurt that much.
Yeah, I think that's a you thing, bud.
Really?
It's a you thing.
Could be.
Good news is, if you have the head injury thing, now you can blame on baseball as opposed to football, you know? Yes. Share the wealth, if you will. So you took a ball off the dome. Gabe, what'd you do?
Oh, I was throwing batting practice, so they have the L screen, you know? You're supposed to be behind the L screen, R comes out. Well, the L screen only works if you're actually, like, fully behind it.
It's important.
Yep.
It's critical.
Took a liner right off, right about, just above my eye.
It hurt?
Stitches?
Oh, it knocked me out.
Really?
Yeah, knocked me out. Didn't need stitches. Probably had a concussion. Probably shouldn't have played in the game, but definitely played in the game. Just like I said, like it knocked me out for only a couple of seconds. Like I came to and saw the coach running out to the mound after I was down. But it was the summer between my junior and senior year of high school. And I had like the left part of my eye where I had gotten hit was just red.
Bloodshot?
Blood. No, like just fully red.
Oh, like blood.
Really?
Yeah. Like so. And it was like that, like had a little bit of a black eye that went away. But the it took probably a solid month for that red to go away.
Yeah.
My parents had to pay extra for the senior pictures to get that photoshopped out.
And this was in what, like 98, 99, 2000? You're younger than I am.
How old do you think I am?
Wait, were you in college or in high school?
This was high school.
So junior year of high school for you.
Between my junior, summer between my junior and senior
2002.
Year. 2003.
Wow. See, I can do math.
I got hit in the head.
You started at 92.
I got hit in the head playing one time.
Get there eventually.
Where my eyes were looking at two different things, and obviously your brain can't process it. It'd be like this eye was looking over here, and that one was looking there.
You had two lazy eyes?
It was weird.
You're like a lizard.
But
you're
I had to tell Brett, hold on, don't call the play yet. And I kept smacking my head, and it probably took about 12 seconds.
You thought that was going to... To be fair,
that's what worked on the cable box.
That's what they did in the Flintstones.
Yeah, and it finally came around. But TV. You talk about weird. Your brain can't... Because your eyes got to, you know...
Yeah, they work in concert with each other very famously, yes.
But it was like a big blurry blob.
Ron and the Key weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, you don't have a hole in your head, you brontosaurus. You have a hole in your skull, but the outside is still closed with skin.
Yeah. It's very mushy, though.
Yeah, it's the soft spot.
Soft spot, yep.
I pushed a little too hard one time on one of the kids, which would explain a lot.
That explains a lot about whatever's going on in your house.
Did you think it was a reset button?
I was worried.
That's what he was hoping for.
Factory settings. Yeah. Go back to the factory settings. I got pickled once. I think I told you guys that. I know you guys love it when I use that phrase, but I was playing running bases in the front yard with my brothers, and my youngest brother, who is the gentleman who's getting married in 3 weeks, stuck his hand up as I was going to catch, right? So my glove is there. His hand is there, completely blinded to the ball. When I moved the glove and he moved his hand, boom, ball was there. Just boom, right there in the eye. And I had a good shiner for a while. And I think I told you guys, most people were like, does your boyfriend hit you?
Yeah, that's exactly what
happened. That's what they said.
When Angie got hit in the club by our daughter, I showed you the pictures.
Oh,
she had to go to the hospital. I wouldn't walk anywhere with her. You talk of the looks you get. It's true.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But he loves me.
Sometimes they just don't listen.
Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Book special hotel packages with room rates starting as low as $129 a night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
What can you do in an hour? You can take a nap, maybe do some cleaning, go have lunch with a friend, watch your favorite show, you can take a yoga class, go to the gym, or buy a car. That's right, you could buy a car with our good friends at the Ewald Automotive Group, because at Ewald Automotive, you'll be in and out in about an hour. All you need to do is start at ewaldauto.com. You select a vehicle that you're interested in, and boom, you get your instant price. You can get a firm trade-in offer, customize your payment option, even add your own protection plan. Then you head to the dealership, you're in and out in about an hour. Ewald, always making it easy, this time trying to save you time. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
Giannis Antetokounmpo officially listed as doubtful for tonight's Bucks game against the Pacers. I guess the more games he is doubtful, the more unlikely I think it is for us to see him at all in this series. And Gabe, you've been adamant you don't want his availability to depend on the team's record in the series.
Yeah, but I mean, again, that's unrealistic, especially let's say they lose the next two games. If he's not quite there, he's going to push to be back. But whenever he gets the clearance from the medical staff, that's the first time you're going to see him.
Is it the same scale as the NFL? Like doubtfuls, 25%, yeah. Probable as this?
Yeah.
Do they have to do that?
They have to have an injury report, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because of gambling.
Cha-ching,
yeah.
Cha-ching, cha-ching. That's the only reason injury reports exist.
I'm not playing them until they lose.
What if he's cleared?
I don't care.
I think he's cleared.
The extra rest will help him? Like, the rest will benefit him in the later series?
Yeah, because the concern is him re-injuring it or re-tearing it.
How confident are you that they win tonight? At home.
Dame's not going to be as hot. Indiana's going to play better.
Bucks win by 4.
I can't go negative.
We're staying positive.
Staying positive
when it comes to the Bucks.
What is it, power rankings?
Yep.
I was going to go negative, but realized, so I went positive.
Attaboy.
Very good.
How hard has this been for you?
The power rankings?
Yeah, staying positive.
It's tough because...
But it's not a Monday.
I'm not with Gabe.
We can get you to be with me.
I know.
Reddit.
Yeah. Come to my side.
How hard? Yeah, it's been.
It's tricky.
Because people have to understand, and I've said it a million times, the reason a lot of athletes are negative is because when you watch film, you don't watch the positive stuff. You watch the negative stuff to try to correct it. That's probably why. Do I lean negative?
No, I don't think so. I think, and Gabe, whether he wants to hear this or not, the things that we have said that gave us pause about the Bucks have been real things. We're not fabricating things. They're things that we have seen. Again, we talked about the fact that the Pacers had won 4 out of 5 during the regular season. We talked about the fact that they were one of the best shooting teams in the league. There were all sorts of things. I agree with you, Chu. I don't think Dame is going to have a half of basketball like he had on Sunday. Hopefully he doesn't have the second half either. Hopefully it's somewhere in the middle, you know? Like, that'd be nice. But I also don't think the Pacers are going to shoot as poorly from three. Although, I didn't look up the splits. Have they shot poorly from three against the Bucks in those 5 meetings earlier?
Yeah, I mean, they were able to get to the rim, kind of do whatever they want. Because, again, the Bucks didn't really have a defensive game plan, which is why I was basically throwing those 5 games out. Because they all happened pre-doc. And... The thing that we didn't really talk about, the fact that they had basically a week, even though it was without Giannis, that was the longest stretch and the best stretch that they had of actually Doc being able to coach. And the other time that they had that, when the Bucks looked really good, was post-All-Star break. They came out firing. They were relatively healthy. They had some time for Doc to implement his things, to understand what Doc wanted from them. And to have that week of preparation... I think did them a lot of good because they could use that in a different way than most other teams do.
If they win tonight, is the series over?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's over.
That's how I feel.
4 or 5. Like, yeah.
You know, they could, you know, have a clunker, have a stinker of a game, but it still feels like that's too big of a advantage to overcome in the first round.
I would agree, especially with Giannis looming at some point. I think he's going to come back at some point.
So we all think the Bucks are going to win tonight and the series is essentially over. Look at that optimism that Gabe has just spread through the ranks.
You're welcome.
Spread through the room.
Better win. Or you better eat pizza tonight.
Why couldn't this game be on Wednesday?
I know.
The works.
That I don't have to be here on Thursday.
Ordering a works already? All right. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this, guys. We still have more of the Packers draft to get to. We still have this thing with Aaron Boone getting thrown out for something a fan said. A fan yelled at an umpire, and the umpire tossed the manager. In what kind of wacky, wild world does that happen? Oh, baseball. More next.